as I watched that video, the scripture a few days ago, the scripture that I immediately thought of comes from James's letter. Just read part of it to you, chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone must be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Whoever listens to the word but does not put it into practice is like a person who looks in a mirror and sees themselves as they are. They take a good look at themselves and then go away and at once forget what they look like. But those who look closely into the perfect law that sets people free will keep on paying attention to it. And do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice. They will be blessed by God in what they do. Do any of you think you are religious? If you do not control your tongue, your religion is worthless and you deceive yourselves. What God the Father considers to be pure and genuine religion is this: to take care of orphans and widows in their suffering and to keep yourself from being corrupted by the world. So James, he is an early church leader, writing really not that long after our Lord Jesus was born in a stable. This is why God can identify with birth conditions. So he writes to God's people who have been scattered throughout the known world. They're facing all sorts of trials, they're facing all sorts of difficulties, but James still has a challenge to bring to them. He doesn't let them off the hook. They may be in difficulties, they may be in migration, they may be dispersed, but he speaks to them about their attitudes and their behaviour. And his letter emphasises the importance of our actions as well as saying we've got faith in Jesus. That is not enough as far as God is concerned. And those last two verses, verses 26 and 27, which we focus on today, talk about the sort of religion that God the Father considers pure and clean, authentic and real. And God is the judge, not us. It is God who says what is pleasing to him and what isn't. And James gives three marks of what's called true religion. And he's talking here about the word threskia. And it really is not the way we use the term religion now, but it actually means worship and spirituality. It means what comes out of our hearts, how that is expressed, not in all those religious rituals, but he's saying, this is genuine, this is real, this is what God thinks is authentic. These three things that come out of your heart. And he expresses those three things. Here they are. That we have control of our speech. That we are prepared to visit and take part in the lives of the poor, the powerless. Here he lists widows and orphans because in that particular society they were the most vulnerable. I think we would probably add to that other people in society that are very, very vulnerable, perhaps through various forms of sickness or lack of skills and so on. But to have control of our speech, and then he devotes a whole chapter to that in chapter 3, being concerned to visit and take part in the lives of the poor and the powerless, and to keep ourselves pure or unspotted from the world. And these things, he said, are three ways that we can think about what is really pure religion, pure worship, pure spirituality from the heart. So we start to think about this. The big danger is that of comparison. Teresa of Avila says, it is insidious that we compare ourselves with other people. This whole passage is about when you look into God's word, What do you see that God is seeing in you in the Bible? And either we can compare ourselves and think we're better than people, or we compare ourselves and think we're worse than them. What God wants us to see in our humanity is what we really are, and to see if we are progressing, to see if we are becoming more human, to see if our attitudes and behaviour is changing in a way that pleases God. So beware comparing yourselves with other people, but take the risk of looking into God's word, looking in the mirror, and letting that experience actually change you. James is very clear that faith, belief in God, personal belief in God, without actions is dead. It's not real faith at all. So if we say we have real faith and yet our actions don't change, then we have misunderstood. We've actually got it wrong. Jesus put it like this: by their fruits you will know them. So from what comes out of the heart, out of our lips, and our actions, and the way we live, you can tell whether that connectedness with Jesus is real. And James is very clear that often we deceive ourselves, and I know that's so true. In all the busyness of life, we don't often stop for long enough, and we can become deceived. What is really going on in our hearts? You know, it says in Psalm 68 that God cares for orphans and protects widows. This is the heart of God. And what comes out of God's mouth is just creative and powerful. What are we like? So any worship we offer God with our lips, in our religious expression, is worthless and empty if we are not pure in our hearts. It is worthless. It will drop to the ground. We need to be caring for the poor and the powerless in practice, and there are always people in our societies that are less powerful than we are. There are always people in greater need than us if we look around, for every one of us. That true religion has to show that there is control of our tongues. We're not to be silent, but to be reined by the Spirit. And if the things of our mouth come out of anger and selfishness and jealousy, which we know they can, then that is not pleasing to God. Again, I say to you, do not compare yourself with others. Look in the mirror and see what God says. Do not fool ourselves, verse 21 says. The following, just because they're seen, doesn't mean it's genuine godliness. These people could have gone in to Afghanistan or anywhere in the world, we could do it, and try and erect buildings that are wonderful, investments that are amazing. They are literally to die for. I've seen investments in my time in St. Bino's that made me cry. They were so beautiful. The creativity of humanity and buildings that make you cry, the stained glass and the things that are within it. But that is not the expression of true and genuine religion. True and genuine religion is to have control of our speech, to visit the poor and the powerless, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. People consider reputations and high status and political power, even within the church, to be true religion. It is not. It is to have control of our speech, to visit the poor and the powerless, and to keep ourselves pure from the world. And the world is anything that is not under the kingship of Jesus, those things that are not under his control. Perhaps we think that talking about how wonderful we are and what we have done or our church has achieved, seeing ourselves as part of a mega church or a wealthy church, but that is not what God says is pure and true worship and spirituality. It is to have control of our speech, to visit the poor and the powerless, and to keep ourselves pure from the world. And we've seen some examples of what is surely pleasing to God. James, again, I say, is clear that we should not judge one another, nor should we show prejudice, but we should be like God our Father in our inner spirituality, who is always merciful. What difference does our belief in God make? James says that in verse 8, it is to make us love our neighbours as we love ourselves. That is what is true religion and true spirituality. There's a key verse in chapter 1, verse 18, which says this: by his own will, he brought us into being through the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all his creation. And as human beings, that is what God has given us. First place in all of creation, to care for it and to live in a way that is pleasing to him, that has real godliness and spirituality. So this is very, very practical, isn't it? God's word is clear. James exhorts God's people to take it into their hearts, and God wants us to take his word into our hearts, that work of Jesus, that work of the Spirit, so that it will change us. And it's from the human heart that we show our true nature, our understanding of what pleases God. It's so clear. God knows our worship. God knows our inner spirituality to be true and genuine. If with his grace we have, let's say this, to have control of our speech, to visit the poor and the powerless, to keep ourselves pure from the world. It is God that says what that true spirituality and worship is. This is how God measures it. Now, the video we saw of our brothers and sisters at work in Afghanistan challenges us. It challenged me because it was not too interventionist. It let people keep those things of their culture and their life that were so important. I hope that it challenges you as it challenges me to show these marks of true heart relationship with God. Their love, their words are very much on the ground with powerless people. What a hard life. They have not built large or magnificent buildings or sought to be powerful in their dress and behaviour. They have displayed God's love. Although I do not compare myself with them, I am challenged by them. And we need to do that wherever we are in our journey, in our migrations, in our movements, wherever we are, wherever we walk tomorrow, to ask for God's grace to be like this, from our hearts in true godliness to live like this. Let's just be still for a moment. Don't worry about the silence, life's first cry. Let's just look in the mirror. We'll leave this on the screen if we may at the moment. Just for a moment. Put your name in this verse. By his own will, he brought Jane into being through the word of truth. He brought you into being by the word of truth, so that we should have first place among all his creation. Lord, you honour us by loving us. You honour us by dying for us. You honour us by considering us worthy to redeem us, to buy us back with your blood. Lord, you honour us. And we pray that as you have moved towards us and loved us, Lord, we may change in our inner being so that our true spirituality, our true worship would be pleasing to you. Please help us, we ask, to know your Spirit controlling what we say and how we say it. Therefore, change our hearts. Lord, enable us always to see the poor and the powerless with true humility and not to cling on to the things we have. We pray for your grace to keep ourselves pure from those attitudes and ways of the world which are contrary to Jesus. Lord, we pray that we may help one another without comparing ourselves with one another, but looking clearly into your word and knowing that power working on our hearts. We rejoice this harvest time. We rejoice this 150th year of our commitment to community, to be in community, with community, sharing the love of God. We thank you for our forebears that have gone before, and we pray for those that have gone from this place in new migration, new journey, that you will bless them, that they may be truly spiritual and godly in the places where they are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.